Hey, I just wanted to take a minute now to thank my friends at Flowers River Lodge, Hawk River Outfitters, and Crooks Lake Lodge for sponsoring today's episode. If you haven't been to Labrador to any of these three lodges, fly fishing for trophy Atlantic salmon or brook trout, I would highly encourage you to take a look. Just go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com/Labrador and find out everything you need to know there.
It's just a memory of a time.
Right.
You can buy that.
Yeah.
You can't buy a big fish.
No.
But it's a trophy. Even if you don't get a trophy as you want to imagine, the trophies are there.
Hey there, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast. I'm Dave Doggett, and I'm happy to have, for the first time, Perry Monroe, a longtime friend of mine. This guy is probably the most experienced angler and guide that I personally know. He's also a hunting guide. Also, a very accomplished author and artist. He's a very unique individual. I'm very proud to be able to call him a friend of mine. And I had a chance to sit down with him a little while back, and we talked about a whole bunch of things. And I'm just kind of cutting them up into what I'm going to call short casts with Perry Monroe. So in this particular short cast, we're going to talk a few things about being a fishing guide and some stories that come along with that. So I hope you enjoy. And this is Perry Monroe on the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast.
How long have you been guiding, Perry?
Over half a century. It was never intended that I was ever going to guide. I worked out at different companies and so on. And different things. I've done a lot of things in my life. So when we moved back to the land during the back to the land movement, it was interesting that over a period of time I'd acquired land, and so we had a maple syrup operation and we had logging and so on. And I was working in the woods, but I also had 160 acres on the lake. And I fished a lot, let's put it mildly.
Yeah.
I thought the idea of guiding would be a good way to supplement income. So I won't say I intended to guide, it just kind of drew me in like a vortex and a whirlpool. And I got into it, and then it became bigger than anything. It became like writing, painting about things I saw, the art, the sculptures, all based themselves in my experience in fishing. But I had I used to be the outdoor specialist for the province of Nova Scotia, so I was sent to a lot of trades shows.
Right.
So I got an opportunity to meet a lot of people in a lot of places and guide at the same time. And then after a while, I had fished almost every state in the Union and every province in Canada and the Arctic and the Bahamas. And it grew. It didn't ever seem to be in one place at any one time. It just seemed to grow. Now I find myself semi-retired guiding. And what a lot of the lodges ask me to do is when somebody gets sick at the camps or family issues or something happens, a guide has to be taken out of a camp. I go in for that period of time till they get back. So it's kind of like I have knowledge of most of the lodges.
Right.
And so I can go into most of the lodges and do an adequate job, let's
right.
say. Yeah. But I've been at it over 50 years. But there's hunting involved there too.
Right, hunting.
Hunting and bird hunting and then deer. I deer hunt it for a while and deer guide it for a while. But I always had this impression about deer hunters. It's not negative, it's just something I've observed. There's journey people and there's destination people. The destination people can only think of the destination, which is a big fish or a big deer with a big rack of horns. The journey people will stop and pick up a baked apple and eat it and say, "What's that?" And then the journey people enjoy the journey. The success of their trip is not based on the destination. The success of the trip is the people they meet, how the trip unfolds, what we see. I remember one time a guy wanted to get a souvenir, going to town and get a souvenir before he flew home. And I went over to a beaver house and I pulled him out a stick. I said, "There's your souvenir." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, it's a trophy." Like, "What's a trophy?" Well, he's not, you know, and all this talk about all this stuff. A trophy is a remembrance of a good time or an event. It's not it never ever said anything about size or species.
Right.
Remember a good time you had.
Yes.
That's a trophy.
Yeah.
And look it up in the dictionary. That's what it says. Mm. It doesn't say how big it was. A cup with all your names engraved on it. It's just a memory of a time.
Right.
You can buy that.
Yeah.
You can't buy a big fish.
No.
But it's a trophy. Even if you don't get a trophy as you want to imagine, the trophies are there. Mm. There's trophies in that brook.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It might be 11 inches.
Right.
But yeah, the memory of taking your grandson up and catching it, that's
the trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Your question was how many years guiding? Well, yeah, over 50 years having a license.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people have a guide's license, don't guide.
That's true. I don't think I know anybody this personally who's guided that long. I mean, I know you have so many stories, it's unbelievable, but, you know, are there any particular guiding stories, mishaps, or just, you know, really memorable trips that stand out?
I think probably there's so many happy faces. Mm-hmm. To target in on the good trips. They're like, you don't remember the fish you caught as much as you remember the fish you lost. The one you lost will be burning your memory forever. Mm. The fish you caught, you have physical evidence of it. If you got a picture or you ate it or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the same with guiding. The ones that stand out in my mind are disasters. and stop and realize how lucky you are to be here on some of the things that have happened over the years.
Right.
Most of the time, we're dealing with water and lakes, rivers. I never really had too many concerns about rapids. That wasn't my big problem. Mm-hmm. My big problem was, everybody says a rogue wave.
Right.
A rogue wave on the ocean. They talk about it, the ship's disasters, or the rogue wave took the ship out. But it also happens in freshwater.
Yeah.
And when that happens on freshwater, it can be awful dicey. I remember a time at Igloo Lake, there's a bad spot in the lake where the wind comes a certain way. You come out of, say, from Burton's Pond, you come across Igloo Lake. You're coming across, you have to go, at one point, you have to go sideways to the waves. Mm. There's no way around it. You can go about a mile up and come a mile back if you want to go turn and make a turn into the wind.
Right.
But most of the times, everybody's beat to snot and you want to get home as quickly as possible. You take what you don't think's a chance, but turns out to be a chance.
Yeah.
You turn sideways to the wind and a wave hits you and puts water in the boat. And you can't look scared. If you look scared, everybody in the boat will be shitting their pants. But that the guide's just sitting there, and those days I smoked.
Right.
So I'd be smoking a cigarette through all this, and I wonder if we're going to die here.
But Perry's calm, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Perry's there, he smokes a cigarette, he's cool. And I'd be worried. And one time, another place I was at, my friend Perry Vey, myself were guiding these people which was kind of a bizarre thing. We were fishing a sucker spot on a little creek off of a lake. And this little creek was full of big trout. And they were up eating the sucker spawn.
Oh, yeah?
And all I had to do was put a ball, a piece of something on, and a little nymph, and drift it down through. And you get a fish, guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guides doing this, guiding these people, all they did was net fish and let them go, net fish and let them go, net fish and let them go. I looked down the lake, and Perry Vey looked down the lake, too, and we saw a big black line coming at us. Said, we're going to hit by a storm, so let's get out of here. Well, we only had two boats and 14 people. So we had to do a shuttle service back and forth. We'll take four, and you take mm-hmm. and we keep shuttling back and forth. In the meantime, the clouds kept getting closer and closer and closer. So I turned around, and I looked, and just kept closer, and it was angry looking. The last group was me. I had the last group. I went up the lake and got three people in the boat and started down the lake. And I'm coming down the lake, and everybody's on shore waving their arms madly. But I can't see or nothing. Behind me, unbeknownst to me, is a water spout.
Oh, yes, yeah.
A big water spout.
I've seen one of those.
And Barry said to me afterwards, he said, I told the boys to start putting the boat in the water to pick up the bodies. He said, because really, it was a big water spout.
Yeah.
Right behind me, it dissipated. It was gone. And the storm was gone. In that nanosecond, it was over.
Mm.
Now, did I experience fear? No, I didn't know what was going on. If you ask Perry about it, he was beside himself. Yeah, those are the kinds of things that stick out in your mind from guiding. Rough days.
Right.
Rough days. Days you wanted to get a fire going so bad, and it was so miserable.
Right.
You had a tough time getting a fire going. You wish you had a fire starter.
Yeah.
One day I was fishing this same little creek, and I had a client in front of me, and the creek's about 10, 12 feet across, and we're just standing there. And a bear steps out, and he looks up and down the creek, and he says, who in the hell's in my kitchen? You know, what's this all about? And so, and he wasn't happy. And so I told the guy I'm guiding in front of me to back out and don't make eye contact, back out and get in back of me, and then back out all the way to the boat. And he just looked at me, and he said, bear, get the F out of here. I went, oh, my God. The bear went up in the air on his hind feet and brought his front feet down and went thump, thump, thump with his front feet. And Perry Vey, my friend, who ends up in a lot of my stories,
yeah,
we've been down the road a lot.
Yeah.
He had an axe, and he was prepared to run up. That's all we had was an axe for getting the fire going. So we grab him by the collar and haul him out. Get out of here. There's no sense of being quiet about it anymore.
Yeah.
You might as well run. And so we ran to the boat and get the hell out of there. So the bear just left. So we go back to camp. I arrive in camp. I walk in. I said, we had a bear episode today. We should have bear blasters, you know. We should have stuff for bears. The guide, the head guide, turns and looked at me and says, okay, they're on the counter, on the shelf up there. No one ever told me they were there. They had thought about it, but they never used them.
It's always great talking with Perry. That's just one snippet of a long conversation that we had, talking about various subjects as guiding, and stories that have come from his guiding experiences. So I'm trying to keep these short cast episodes around the 15-20 minute mark. So that concludes episode 28. You can find episode 28 and the show notes at maritimeoutdoorsman.com/028. And you can find out more about Perry and his services and his artwork and everything else that he's up to at perrymonroe.com. And as well, I'll put a link to his Facebook account in the show notes. And stay tuned, subscribe, like, share this episode, and there will be more shortcast episodes with Perry Monroe over the weeks to come. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.